Hello, you're watching Press TV News live from Tehran.
Thanks for joining us. Afghan President Hamid Karzai says the private security firms in his country are working with criminal contractors and funding the Taliban.
Next 4 months, that's something like 30,000.
We have decided in the Afghan government to bring an end to the presence of these security companies who are running a parallel security structure to the Afghan government, who are not only causing corruption in this country, but who are looting and stealing from the Afghan people, who are causing a lot of harassment to our civilians, who we don't know whether they are security companies at daytime, and then some of them turn into terroristic groups at nighttime.
Well, Karzai made the comments one day after he ordered all the security firms to be abandoned by the end of 2010. The Afghan president also called on U.S. taxpayers not to allow these groups to waste their money. Karzai had set a four-month deadline for the companies to stop all operations across the country. However, the U.S. Defense Department says it favors a more gradual withdrawal. Some 26,000 armed security contractors work with the U.S. government in Afghanistan.
Four American soldiers have been killed in Afghanistan. Two of the soldiers died in a gun battle with Taliban militants in the east of the country. Another two were killed in separate incidents in the south. The deaths bring to 294 the number of American soldiers killed in Afghanistan this year. At least 451 U.S. foreign troops have lost their lives so far in 2010 in Afghanistan. The Taliban have stepped up their attacks against U.S.-led troops across Afghanistan over the past 4 years. With this, despite regular reinforcement to foreign forces.
An airstrike by U.S.-led foreign forces in Afghanistan has killed at least four policemen.
It happened in northern Juzjan province of this country, where heavy clashes first erupted between the Afghan police officers and the Taliban militants. The fighting between the Taliban and Afghan police officers lasted for about an hour. And after the fighting, the Afghan police officers were heading to their base, but they couldn't reach to their base. They were hit by a NATO airstrike. This has been reported by Afghan authorities from northern Afghanistan. They strongly condemned this attack and said that four Afghan police officers were killed and about 13 others were seriously wounded by the NATO airstrike. NATO headquarters here in Kabul confirmed that.
Well, NATO says it's investigating the incident. This is not the first time that U.S.-led airstrikes bomb the positions of Afghan forces. There have been many similar incidents in which large numbers of Afghan forces have been killed in NATO attacks of the past years. The military alliance says the so-called friendly fire incidents are inevitable. Kabul has repeatedly condemned and called for an end to NATO attacks on Afghan civilians and security forces. Well, now, WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange says the Pentagon could be behind a rape accusation against him.
Well, the allegations come amid a standoff with Washington over the WikiLeaks publication of secret Afghan war documents. Assange has told the Swedish newspaper Aftonbladet that he had been earlier warned that groups such as the Pentagon would use any means to destroy his whistleblower website. On Saturday, Swedish prosecutors issued an arrest warrant for Assange over a rape allegation, but it was withdrawn hours later. Now, WikiLeaks founder says that despite the lifting of the warrant, his enemies would still use the claim to damage his website. Assange has promised to publish more secret documents about the war in the coming weeks.
A leading American officer has refused to rule out his country's return to combat operations in Iraq. The top U.S. commander in Iraq, General Ray Odierno, said the U.S. could resume combat missions in Iraq if the security situation worsens in the country. This comes only a few days after the U.S. announced the withdrawal of the last combat brigade from Iraq. Still, Washington keeps some 50,000 troops in the country. Under a security pact between Baghdad and Washington, the United States is supposed to withdraw all troops from Iraq by the end of 2011.
Iran has unveiled its first domestically made long-range drone bomber, the Qarar.
In jets, قبل از اینکه سفیر مرگ برای دشمنان بشریت باشد، پیام‌آور عزت و کرامت انسانی و نجات بشریت است. پیام اصلی صلح و دوستی است. پیام اصلی جلوگیری از هر نوع درگیری است که منجر به کشته شدن بشود.
President Ahmadinejad made the comments during the inauguration ceremony of the Karbar drone bomber. He referred to Iranian nation's achievements and said the country refers as a ray of hope for justice-seeking countries. Ahmadinejad underscored the Karbar is intended to deter any possible attack. The drone is capable of carrying out bombing missions against ground targets. It's the latest in a series of advanced domestically built defense systems that Iran has unveiled over the past weeks. They include the Ghadir submarine, the Sina frigate, and the Qiyam surface-to-surface missile.
Arab states are concerned over Israel's position on peace talks with the Palestinian Authority, due to be held in Washington next month. The Arab League says it fears Tel Aviv's insistence on talks without preconditions will lead to, quote, fruitless negotiations. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has said only recognition and security of Israel can lead to lasting peace in the Middle East. The Palestinian Authority officials have agreed to meet with Israelis at Washington summit on September the 2nd. The Palestinian Authority insists dialogue should lead to the creation of their independent state. They want an Israeli freeze on settlement activity for the talks to resume. But Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has made it clear there should be no preconditions for the U.S. revived negotiations. Well, earlier our correspondent in Ramallah told us more about the Palestinians' take on the PA's agreements to the proposed U.S. brokered talks.
Well, we know that the PLO's executive committee, that is the Palestinian Liberation Organization, approved switching into direct talks on Friday. But let me say here that there is no Palestinian consensus. Most of the Palestinian Liberation Organization parties disagreed and they rejected switching into direct talks. The leftist parties, and not to mention the Hamas movement in Gaza, which slammed the decision and accused the PA of bowing to the U.S. and Israeli pressure. Now, most of the Palestinian people here believe that these talks wouldn't be any different from the previous ones, and they won't be any sort of a way fruitful.
You're watching Press TV News. These are the headlines this hour. Afghan President Hamid Karzai says foreign security firms have links with criminal groups.
We have decided in the Afghan government to bring an end to the presence of these security companies who are not only causing corruption in this country, but who are looting and stealing from the Afghan people.
The United States says it may resume combat operations in Iraq. Iran unveils its first homemade long-range drone. This is Press TV News. Chile's president has announced that a group of miners trapped underground for more than 2 weeks are alive. Sebastian Pinera has said contact has been established with 33 miners 17 days after their copper mine caved in. The miners apparently tied a paper note to a shaft drilled 700 meters below ground, saying they are all alive. But the chief engineer in charge of the rescue operation has said it'll take at least 4 months to dig a new tunnel to reach the miners. The mine is located in the city of Copiapo, some 800 kilometers north of the capital, San Diego.
Hundreds of thousands of people have been evacuated or relocated following severe flooding in China and North Korea. Fresh floods in China's northeastern province of Liaoning have forced more than 250,000 people to evacuate their homes. The flooding has also left four people dead. Heavy summer downpours have caused the Yalu River to burst its banks. The river forms the border between China and North Korea. Forecasters have warned of more heavy rains in the region. In neighboring North Korea, more than 5,000 people have been relocated after areas near the border were completely inundated. North Korea has been hit by widespread flooding this summer, which has washed away homes, roads, railways, and farmland.
Pakistan is satisfied with the flow of foreign aid into the flood-hit areas in the country, but it says more needs to be done to be able to save millions of people who are still suffering from the unprecedented crisis. Javed Rana has the story.
With 3 weeks of continuous monsoon rains, more and more people are now fleeing towards the safer areas. These families have managed to escape from the sweeping tides of Indus River that have particularly hit hard the southern belt of Punjab province. This family, like many others here in suburbs of Islamabad, depends on the generosity of a local community. On humanitarian grounds, local people have accommodated about a dozen of families to stay in their homes, but only for 3 weeks. It was midnight when the gushing flood water woke up this family in Shah Jamal village of Muzaffargarh district in the south of Punjab.
Our doors were suddenly jolted by gushing flood water. I immediately picked up my kids and found nearby higher ground. Unfortunately, I saw right in front of me, a flood wave took away kids from hands of a woman trying to run away from the heavy current.
For 3 to 4 days, people had nothing to eat. Many took refuge on the nearby higher grounds, were bitten to death by snakes swept by the flood waters. Others are dying by the water-related diseases because they have to drink only the contaminated flood water.
Two members of this family are still missing.
These families are telling touching stories of how they survived from the tidal wave of Indus River. The flood water burst embankments, washed away villages after towns, destroyed crops, farmland, buildings, bridges, and almost everything that came on its way.
The flood began last month in Pakistan's northwest. Since then, the swelling water in rivers has swept the southern region, killing at least 1,600 people and affecting over 20 million others.
The scale of the disaster in southern Punjab is huge. Besides the loss of infrastructure, the loss to agriculture, the loss to livestock is huge because southern Punjab is the bread basket of Pakistan. Southern Punjab is the place that produces the bulk of cotton for Pakistan. Almost 85% of national production comes from southern Punjab.
The destruction is not only confined to small areas around Indus River. The mighty Indus flooded plain areas far away from its traditional tracks. Javed Rana, Press TV, Islamabad.
Russia's fire crisis seems to be far from over, as more than 200 wildfires are still raging in the country. The country's emergency minister says dozens of new fires have emerged in Russia over the past days, while firefighters have extinguished scores of others. Thousands of emergency workers have been working around the clock for over 1 month now to push back the blaze. The fires have claimed at least 53 lives. They've also destroyed one quarter of the country's crops. On Friday, the Russian president lifted the state of emergency in 6 of the 7 regions hit hardest by the worst wildfires in decades. But millions of people affected by fires accused the government of acting too slow. And the regional government of Iraqi Kurdistan has announced it will implement a permanent smoking ban in certain public places. Here's more.
Although no precise statistics are available, Iraqi Kurdistan could be considered a haven for smokers, as most males throughout the country smoke cigarettes. This year, however, the regional government announced that during Ramadan, smoking will be banned in public buildings such as hospitals, universities, government offices, and even markets and parks. It has now got tougher as the Ministry of Health has announced that the ban will be made permanent.
Today, after the members of parliament discussed the proposed law to permanently ban smoking in public places, they approved it. This step is very important, as it will ban smoking in markets, parks, and other public venues.
Turkey, Syria, the United Arab Emirates, Egypt, and some other countries in the region have either introduced or are in the process of introducing similar bans. But that such a ban should be introduced in such an undeveloped region of Iraq has taken many by surprise. The Regional Ministry of Health also announced the implementation of a wide-ranging program aimed at educating the public about the dangers of smoking.
We, Ministry of Health in Kurdistan, we decided to increase my health education for Kurdish people regarding the smoking of Nirgela, because it will cause so many cancers and cerebrovascular accident and heart diseases, apart from addiction which causing by Nergada.
The ministry says most cigarettes available in the region are locally produced counterfeits and therefore are not subject to the quality control measures. Dangerous chemicals have been found in certain brands of these counterfeit cigarettes.
Under the new law, people will actually be able to be jailed for smoking inside hospitals. And while experts warn that they may not have an immediate effect on the number of smokers, coupled with an education campaign and public awareness, the numbers might drop significantly in the long term. Matt Fraser, Press TV, Erbil.
And that's your broadcast for now. Thanks for watching. For more news, log on to Press TV's website at presstv.ir.
Stay tuned. Sports International is up next.